Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
Welcome to the Divided Kingdom radio program. It's September 1st, 2022. We've been on air since 2003, and our website is dividedkingdomradio.com. Tell others to visit the listening archives there and read our essays under Breaking News. Hear us at WWCR.com and on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern, on a frequency of 7.490 megahertz. And we can be heard once more on Monday afternoons on 9.350 megahertz at 4 p.m.
And now we thank all of you great listeners for your love, prayers, and ongoing help. And we do need more help. We hope that God will soon lift us out of this strain, but we are determined to stay on radio. And some of you have just been so magnificent. But this is a time that we do still need money. So if you can put some cash in an envelope, a money order, or a check right now, we would need it to be made out to Global Star Communications. A little later in the month, we could use a check for $50 written to WWCR. So you can send anything that you can send to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and we thank you in advance for helping us, because it's a lot of weight that we've been carrying, mostly the two of us, for what now, 18 years, Lou?
That's quite a, right,
quite a
yes.
Bit. So now we're going to jump right in to the kind of program that you want to hear. You want to keep us on air because we don't have commercials. And we are true blue. We are just Mr. and Mrs. America getting our take on the news. And we try to bring things that will help you spiritually as well as shock the living daylights out of you. So our September 1st program is called September Snapshots, Summer Shock / Secrets, and Lou's presentation of Coach Dave Dobenmeyer's stirring essay will be tonight's opening radio monologue.
Bloody Hill by Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, July 2022, www.stophate.com. They have lied to us, our government I am speaking about. The government media complex is one of the most wicked partnerships in the history of this nation. Lie. That is all that they do. They have seized the levers of power, and all they do is lie to advance their Luciferian agenda. They hide the truth, censor the truth, deny the truth, ignore the truth. Their father is a liar, and they are doing his handiwork. America is a nation under siege. The enemies are within the gates, occupy the positions of power throughout every area of this nation. Media, education, entertainment, medicine, religion. Lies rule the day. The bigger the lie, the more convincing it is. Government would never hurt you. Science is honest. Education is moral. Churches are apolitical. Lies. All lies. Churches are bought. Pulpits have been pilfered. Pastors are cowardly. The Bible calls them ignorant, dumb dogs, afraid to bark, loving to slumber, greedy dogs. I'm sick of it, and you should be too. But you listen to the boys on TV. They call themselves conservatives, yet they hide the truth. They talk about January 6th as an insurrection, as if 2 million men and women marching in Washington is some kind of crime. They poison your brain. They tell you there is nothing wrong, that it's all in your head, that you are a conspiracy theorist, that the pharmaceutical companies can be trusted. Prices are skyrocketing. Fuel is off the charts. Shelves are thinning. Build back better is the way forward. Fake news, fake genders, fake conservatives. They are poisoning the mind of your children. Perverts are trolling for your children in public schools. You wink and nod as they explain that sexual perversion is normal. You are the screwed up one. You are the bigot. You are the hate monger. as they cram debauchery into the minds of our young children. And they get away with it. I could go on and on. Lies are everywhere you look, and the church won't even stand up and fight for truth. Accepting perversion is loving, as the deviants judge you for judging them. Divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. They shut down the churches. They told you to stay at home. They destroyed small businesses while big box stores thrived. You took the jab. You gave it to your children. Now they are sick. Many are dying. Most are damaged. It is only the beginning. Biden was never elected. Use your brain. It has all been a sham. They told us they were going to do it. We didn't believe them. We trusted our elected officials, even though many of them were never elected. We looked the other way. We cowered in fear. Still do. Afraid that one of your friends might call you a name. Cowards, idiots, fools. What name would you use for the average American? Your prissy pastor, if you still go to church, hides behind the pulpit, while evil flourishes right outside the door. He, or she, not much difference, won't mix the sacred with the secular, or mix religion and politics as the devil eats our children. We were warned. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Are there any good men anymore? How do you recognize them? Where do you find them? Do good men ever push back? How did the average American male become so womanly? Womanly. We have a Supreme Court justice who cannot define woman. She, a woman, either lied or is ignorant. Both should disqualify her. We appoint cross-dressers to the highest offices in the land. We act as if this behavior is normal. They are sick. No, wait. We are sick for tolerating this horse manure. We let them eat us alive. We cower in the corner, afraid to defend truth. They destroy everything that is good. We applaud their debauchery. We know the truth, but refuse to defend it. Christian men are effeminate and cowardly, hooked on porn and sports, unwilling to defend their faith and their family, living by lies. Trump is coming back. Everything is going to be fine. Fools, damn fools, dumb dogs, afraid to bark. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get involved, a chance to awaken your friends. They lied to us about January 6th. It was a government insurrection against the people. Over 75% of those currently locked in jail in Washington, D.C. are veterans. Maybe you need to read that again. Veterans are locked up in D.C. for peacefully demanding a redress of a stolen election. Over 18 months in jail for simply exercising their God-given right to question the government. How many Republicans are fighting to free them? Your government wants you dead. Can't you see it? Luciferians are running the show. Stand up and fight. Your grandkids are counting on you.
Bravo. Now, bravo to Coach Dobenmeyer.
I say that too, yes.
Lou, you know I'm always so critical of you, and you are of me. You mispronounced debauchery. That may be a word you didn't know, but you certainly know what it means. What would you think that some of this debauchery is just from Lou Caverly's analysis?
Well, I would certainly think accepting, you know, turning the children into the opposite sex.
And mutilating them.
Yes, I was going to say mutilating them, doing surgery that cannot be undone, that will be a life-changing thing that they may decide a few years later, I wish I hadn't done that, but then it's too late.
And then the COVID shots, the coffins. We always bring this up, the 500% increase, what should have been 5 years' worth in 7 months, this increase. And as a mathematician, what have you said?
Oh, I think that I don't know what numbers I quoted, but it could easily be one chance in 10,000 that's just a, you know, a coincidence.
That seems low, I think.
Yes, I think it does.
If you really think now, 5 years' worth within 7 months.
Let's say one in a million.
500% increase.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds a little more like it, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Now, we have a lot for the listeners with these summer shocks and secrets. What's your next item up?
Well, the next item fits in very well with Coach Dobbenmeyer's essay. And we might ask, just how far into the depths of evil can America fall? The corporate entities of the New York Times.
Oh, before you even lay this on the listeners,
yes.
We've had a serious update. We have heard the situation update by Mike Adams the other day. I'm not sure exactly which date, but people can go to Brighteon.com to look for this. But we're hearing that the issues in Europe may be just paralyzing this winter. Horrific numbers of people who may starve and freeze to death. And I believe it was in Poland at a large coal mine. Isn't that what you recall? These people were there in their cars waiting overnight to buy coal.
Yes, that's exactly right.
See, they're trying to get ready. They're trying to get ready. They're trying to find wood stoves. They may even be illegal in Europe. I'm not certain about that. But we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Europe. We need to pray hard about the food, the planned food shortage, the planned fuel shortage. It's a dreadful thing. And if it goes on like this and we go deeply into what Lou and I think might be the Great Tribulation coming, or at least into the New World Order, then this next piece that Lou has, it could happen. And it is horrific. And we have to, once again, go back to Coach Dobbenmeyer's essay when he talked about the media, the incredible iniquity everywhere in which people are doing Satan's task. Here is the New York Times. You know, we heard in our youth it was a paper everybody revered. You felt that way, didn't you, up in Massachusetts as a high school
yes.
kid?
In fact,
I think our English teachers told us this, didn't they?
Yeah, in fact, in 11th grade, U.S. history, they bought it for us. And each morning,
wow.
we would take 5 or 10 minutes reading it. I still remember the teacher at the time was a young man. He said that you will never see a certain kind of huge headline across the New York Times. But strangely enough, only a few days later, John F. Kennedy was killed. And there they were, those huge headlines.
My. Now, what did he mean that you will never see a huge headline? Did he mean everything is tasteful and elegant
or something like that? Yes, and rather
understated. Isn't that interesting? And that also shows that man can have all this bravado, but when it comes to who rules the universe, it is that same God who bent time and space that we've told about when you and I were so distressed emotionally going to Colonial Williamsburg years ago, and we were going down that old Route 301. Is that right?
That's right.
And what should have taken us 2 hours to get to Williamsburg took us 15 minutes. And we're talking literally. You as a mathematician, you said this before in our program, it wasn't that it seemed like 15 minutes, was it?
Oh, no.
No. We had a miracle. God will give you a miracle, too, if you turn your life completely over to him and believe in him and ask him to forgive your sins and ask him to guide you every day of the rest of your life. Now, this doesn't mean Satan won't marshal attacks against you. He's been marshaling great attacks against Lou and me financially, emotionally, certain things that came from my past. Lou had to bring some things home from an old storage home, and there were certain things that were very, very troubling to me, going back to when my family was dysfunctional. And now my family, the remaining people in my family, God has gloriously saved them and saved me, I believe, and saved Lou, and everything is the difference of night and day. And this could only have been accomplished by the power of Jesus Christ. You know, one of my family members once said to me, I hate you the same way I hate the churches. Now, ironically, that family member and I have the deepest bond of love possible now. But the irony is now neither one of us has very much respect for these sleeping pastors who were largely silent, who never told their parishioners that the COVID clot shots were filled with aborted fetal cell derivations. No, they didn't tell them. so there is something there that tells us our only security in the days ahead, good or bad, is Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, forever, he's the same. And it is Jesus Christ and his Father who oversaw the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Great miracle. So, yes, we must all pray that the midterm elections will end up with Republicans and not Democrats involved in running what's going to come. Will it be the culture of death, or will America be repenting? But now, what we said was, if things don't change and this terrible global reset satanic agenda goes forward, these poor people in Europe may be starving and freezing. And we know that prayer changes things. And we ask you to continue to pray for that wonderful Pennsylvania doctor who's helping us a little bit every week. He has asked for prayers for his health. So please pray that God will strengthen him. And pray for that person who has written to us anonymously, who has lost the home. Pray for that to improve. Now, what is this bombshell? We've held you in suspense maybe for 7 minutes. What is in the new New York Times? The New York Times of 2022, when was it, when you were in high school, about what year?
Well, that would have been, roughly speaking, 1963, 64, right around there.
Okay, around the time of Kennedy's assassination.
Yes, that's right.
And things that were once respected are now Orwellian darkness infiltrated. All right, pick it up.
A Taste for Cannibalism. This is by Alex Beggs, July 23rd, 2022.
And this is from?
The New York Times. A spate of recent stomach-churning books, TV shows, and films suggests we've never looked so delicious to one another. An image came to Chelsea G. Summers, a boyfriend accidentally on purpose hit by a car, and his liver served Tuscan style. That figment of her twisted imagination is what prompted Miss Summers to write her novel, A Certain Hunger, about a restaurant critic with a taste for male human flesh. There is Yellow Jackets, a Showtime series about a high school women's soccer team stranded in the woods for a few months too many, which premiered in November. The film Fresh, released on Hulu in March, involves an underground human meat trade for the rich. Lap Varner, Otessa Moshfegh's novel, published in June, portrays cannibalism in a medieval village overcome by plague and drought. Augustina Bastarrica's book, Tenders the Flesh, released in English in 2020 and in Spanish in 2017, imagines a future society that farms humans like cattle. Also out in 2017, Raw, a film by the director and screenwriter Julia Ducournau, tells the story of a vegetarian veterinary student whose taste for meat escalates. Still to come is Bones and All, starring Timothée Chalamet. The movie about a young love that becomes a lust for human consumption is expected to be released later this year or early next. Its director, Luca Guadagnino, has called the story extremely romantic. And this is Lou speaking. Divided Kingdom listeners, pray for America to deeply repent.
Oh, yes, Lou. And, you know, certainly eating crickets is not on the level of horror and depravity as what you have described there, the cannibalism factor. But to most of us mom-and-pop cuisine makers, it is truly disgusting to think about crickets. Lou and I quit eating a kind of orange sherbet that used to be delicious, and the company apparently changed hands, and now it has an added ingredient, quote, protein powder. Well, you know, after thinking about the crickets and even the terrible information that could be possible in Watch the Water, the snake venom factor, possibly into COVID shots, and we've heard that freeze-dried venom cobra powder was in the remdesivir. So naturally, when we see protein powder, we're curious. Now, Lou emailed the company to see what kind of protein powder this was. but it revealed absolutely nothing. So we took it off our eating list. And I think that some of you may want to try to go to the Mike Adams situation update for the interview with Dr. Judy Mikovits. And Lou, I believe that was Monday, wasn't it?
No, that was
Wednesday.
That was Wednesday,
the 31st.
August.
August the 31st. You probably want to pick that up. It's very technical. We didn't understand all of it, but we could understand the gist of it. And what seems a little far-fetched was that glyphosate, the Monsanto-type herbicide that's sprayed everywhere, we don't know how pervasive it is. And you'll hear some of that on that interview. And you'll hear, in the expert terms of Dr. Mikovits, how the glyphosate that people eat, and she's saying they're spraying it now in wheat. So if you're eating a lot of wheat, you might want to think about, Lou and I, the possibility, what we do, we're celiacs, so we have to have other grains like non-GMO corn, non-GMO rice, sorghum, some other grains than rice. But at any rate, this extra glyphosate that's in people's bodies, she makes a strong case that it intensifies the reactions from the COVID-19 clot shots because the glyphosate somehow is related to certain things that are in the COVID shot, and it intensifies the cytokine storm. And if you remember, we talked about that, the ADEs, the antibody-dependent factor, that these could later make a person's body overreact in the immune system when a similar coronavirus came, so that the body would kind of attack too harshly and we'd have these terrible cytokine storms in the lungs. Well, and then, you see, death. So apparently what she talked about, the glyphosate, can be a factor that intensifies this. So we just lead you to try to do what she and Mike said, eat organic. It's so important. And she stressed that she doesn't even go to a grocery store. She goes to farmers markets and tries to find local people growing organic. But now we must move back. We hope that we've helped you there with some information that was helpful to us. We go to the Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, August 18th. It begins. TMZ promotes cricket protein powder. The globalists and the left-wing media will not stop convincing people to eat bugs. Quote, if you're sick of that post-protein shake bloat or tired of heavy powders and supplements that leave you feeling overly full and sluggish, try this out instead. This is the very first line that you come across on TMZ's website in their advertisement for a protein powder alternative made from crickets. TMZ is now advertising protein supplements produced by Human Improvement that are made with cricket powders. Hey, Lou, I thought humans were good enough the way we were. Do you think we have to have human improvement?
Well, it does seem that way, doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah, and do you think crickets are going to put more hair on your head?
I don't know. It's worth a try.
Yeah. As a young man, you had too much hair. It was the beetle look.
But, it was, yes.
I guess
I used it all up too young.
Must have. But back to this article now, to be very serious, they say human improvement, and that's this auspice, whatever it is, tried a variety of protein combinations before settling on one cricket powder. They tried a blend of organic pumpkin protein, pea protein, and brown rice protein. Quote, cricket protein is high in fiber and prebiotics and is not only easy to digest, but research shows it may actually help boost gut health, the company said. Quote, cricket protein is one of the most sustainable and nutritious protein sources on Earth. Not only is it a complete protein that is high in B12, iron, and prebiotics, but it also requires a fraction of the resources used by traditional animal protein sources. Human Improvement wrote,
in fact, crickets emit 99.9% less greenhouse gases use 90% less water and 93% less land than livestock to produce the same amount of protein, it added. While using crickets to make protein powder may turn heads at first, it's actually much better for our bodies and the environment than other powders and supplements that we ingest daily, TMZ wrote on its website. It added, in fact, it's more nutritious than plant protein and more sustainable than whey, packed with clean ingredients that taste great and go easy on your gut. You'll never taste the crickets, but you'll definitely notice the benefits, unquote. It can be recalled that the globalists and the left-wing media try to convince people to eat bugs, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. A South African entrepreneur is innovating new ways of turning mopane worms into flour to be used for protein bars and protein smoothies. Wendy Vassella, the chemical engineer behind the push for people to eat the caterpillars, said the bugs can also be used as pizza toppings.
You know, Lou, I have to interject. The globalists think that we're only insects, so that's all we deserve to eat.
That's right, or at best, maybe rats. Then we are rats.
That's right.
All right, the World Economic Forum openly calls for the peasants to eat bugs and weeds for, quote, environmental reasons, unquote. Global elites of the WEF also promoted fake meat produced from a 3D printer as a, quote, taste of the future, unquote. WEF gave three reasons why peasants should eat lab-grown meat. First, every year billions of animals are raised and slaughtered for food. Second, this uses huge amounts of water and energy. And third, some experts believe alternatives could be better for people and the environment. In July, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, broke the news that the National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, proposed funding a feasibility study to feed fake meat to the Navy, TGP reported. Funding in the NDAA, and this is a quote from Mrs. Greene, funding in the NDAA provides a pilot program to feed fake meat to the Navy, Representative Greene wrote on her Twitter. She argued, as if recruitment isn't hard enough right now, getting young people to join our woke military requiring vaccines, the Navy is going to have it extra hard because apparently Bill Gates is designing the menu, she argued.
And, yes, the National Defense Authorization Act, I believe that's Obama, and there are a lot of other scary parts to it. But we now know that Satan's physical and spiritual death factory is just going after all of us in many different ways. And it was a once Christian-founded university at Yale University. A lot of these, like Harvard and Yale, they had clergymen who really founded them and were there at the beginning. But here's what's going on. Yale is grooming children as young as three, promoting puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, gender reassignment. This is Natural News, Lance D. Johnson, August 19, 2022. One of the most prestigious universities in the United States is targeting children for gender reassignment, offering them puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and counseling sessions that affirm the destruction of their true identity and anatomy. Yale just released a promotional video for their pediatric gender program. Co-founder Christy Oleski, a Ph.D., admits that Yale Medicine is taking kids as young as 3 years old on their, quote, gender journey and exposing them to, quote, medical interventions, end of quote, to change their gender. As a, quote, clinical psychologist, Christy Oleski says she is the director of an interdisciplinary program that works with individuals who are gender diverse. She says she loves working with, quote, gender expansive individuals, 3 to 25 years of age, and their families. This is institutional child abuse, and it's being carried out deceptively under the banner of love, tolerance, and inclusiveness. These counselors, sex predators, are going after vulnerable minors, messing with their heads and distorting their perception of reality. These Yale psychologists are going after teenagers, middle-aged children, young kids, and even toddlers to affirm something that is biologically untrue. The mental and spiritual repercussions may last a lifetime. The program explains that some youth are exploring their identity. While this has always been the case with youth, there's nothing virtuous about leading the youth to further confusion, further hormonal imbalance, self-destructive surgeries, and eventually self-hatred and regret. Yale's pediatric gender program is designed to do just that, encouraging the youth to go with how they feel inside if it does not match up with the gender they were assigned at birth. This is called gender-affirming care. And it is how the program listens to youth and, quote, answers their questions. It's not right. It's leading many youth astray. The program starts with an initial consultation, which includes a readiness assessment. The consultation takes anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. Mental health support is offered, but it's typically used as a form of coercion to complete a child's transition. After the consultation, the child is connected with other gender transitioning patients and resources to affirm the change. After the evaluation, and when all agree that it is safe, healthy, and appropriate, we offer a variety of medical treatments related to gender affirmation, the program page explains. The goal is to use puberty-blocking drugs and cross hormones to ultimately lead the youth to a gender-affirming surgery after they turn 18 years old. It's a sick and twisted medical experiment that preys on vulnerable youth who need real love and real guidance. Quote, first and foremost, we make sure we understand our patients' needs and desires. The program states, a child does not need cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers that deconstruct their innate physiology. A child definitely doesn't need some perverted counselor brainwashing them with transgender activism, transgender vocabulary, and made-up terms that distort their identity further. If the child has desires that conflict with their natural development, then they should be given healthy guidance, not be led astray into a world of further mental and emotional turmoil. The Yale Pediatric Gender Program feeds the insanity further by claiming that children are a, quote, suicide risk if they are not transitioned in accordance with their feelings and desires. The program pretends that psychologists and parents are saving the children from suicide when they affirm their newfound gender, confirm their new pronouns, and accept their preferred gender identity. The entire program is a departure from medical ethics and constructive mental health counseling, and is a foray into mass child abuse. Who will speak up at Yale and demand an end to this perversion?
It's back to school time. Not the little three-eyed red schoolhouse of yesteryear. The demons are at that desk. Here's a candid snapshot of a Cindy-rated school plan. This is from the LifeSite news site. Los Angeles School District gives teachers queer calendar to push LGBT agenda, quote, all year long, unquote. This is by Joseph Summers on July 11, 2022. Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Unified School District, LAUSD, provided a, quote, queer all school year, unquote, calendar to teachers and educators designed to help them push LGBT-themed material to children in every month of the school year, documents obtained by Parents Defending Education, a parental rights group, show. The calendar, titled Queer All School Year Calendar, gives suggestions for monthly activities that teachers can organize to help promote the LGBT agenda in the classroom. The activities vary based on the month of the school year. According to the calendar is the, quote, queer and trans-affirming school calendar, unquote. And as we move on with that same topic, the document also states that students can change their names and gender identities without parental knowledge. According to the document, quote, no parent, guardian permission or notification is required for student-initiated name changes, unquote. The month of June includes a reading list to help celebrate Pride Month with literature, art, music, poster campaigns, or lunchtime events. Included in the reading list are books titled Two Boys Kissing, Gender Identity, Transgender Lives, Complex Stories, Complex Voice, Gender Issues, This Book is Gay, LGBTQ Families, The Ultimate Teen Guide, Queer, The Ultimate LGBT Guide for Teens, and Transgender People. Speaking to the Daily Caller, Nicole Niley, President of Parents Defending Education, said that the Los Angeles School District is failing to teach students reading and mathematics, despite a multi-billion dollar budget. School districts have gotten into trouble for promoting LGBT ideology and sexually graphic materials in schools. Last year, Fairfax County, Virginia schools reaffirmed the presence of Lawn Boy and Genderqueer, a Memoir, in school libraries. Both books are known to feature pornographic descriptions of homosexual activity with underage children. Fairfax County schools adopted a policy last month that punishes students for, quote, malicious misgendering or dead naming, unquote, gender-confused students. The release of the documents by Parents Defending Education follows the implementation of Florida's Parental Rights in Education Law, which prohibits discussion of sexuality in kindergarten to third grade classrooms. Some Florida schools removed I Am Jazz and other books promoting gender theory and gender confusion from school libraries in the days and weeks before the implementation of the law.
Lou, that phrase, dead names, you see again how Orwellian it is. We talked before about how cremation is taking over the long-term in history burials of people, and with the monuments, I told how I could go back and see a forebear of mine, Phoebe Elizabeth Cuppet, who lived in the early 1900s briefly. And I could think about what her life have been, what is my life. You can look back. We just found that you were related to a very prominent author, and that was Robert Booty Caverly, and he was alive in, what, about the 1870s, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And he's the one who went back and actually found that your lineage went back to the year 1116 when John, and he didn't have the last name Caverly yet. He took a trip from Scotland up to England, probably walked, we don't know. But he married someone up there, and then I guess she was rather well-to-do, Lardinia, and they had the Caverly Manor. So, you see, all of that is history. All of that is our heritage. It's all so important, things that you may not even have known about your ancestors, things they did. They fought the Indians. Maybe they were Indian. They were part American Indian. Maybe they were a Cherokee who had to walk in that terrible Trail of Tears to the West. They're just wonderful things, and we're not going to give up Western civilization for these crazy, perverted people who are going to call our names dead. We're not going to do it. So go ahead, Lou.
All right. Well, I think that completes that particulates.
Yes, I think, don't you have something coming up after that?
I think yours is next.
Okay. There was some kind of a law, I think, but maybe that's something different, an implementation of a law. That may be a miscue that I'd written. Well, you know, we've talked about the CDC before, and we don't want to dwell on this a lot, but we have heard that they've now scrubbed their page of something when they said that the spike proteins never migrated in the body after the COVID shots were given. They've quietly taken that away, and we may have referred to this once before from WorldNet Daily, July 16th, Art Moore. CDC directs kids to chats about sex changes in the occult. Now, how out of line are they? They seem to be all-powerful. Remember how they kept rent evictions from happening? People were not evicted during the pandemic. Well, we have to remember, this is the Jesuit aspect of the New World Order. And we have to know, again, that the founder of the CDC in the 19... it may have been around 1914, that he actually attended the Jesuit Research University, Marquette. So you see, a lot of these things that are happening are there. And we've heard a rumor now about the Vatican, too, that if there's going to be an imminent financial collapse coming, we've heard that the Pope has drawn all of the Vatican's money home to the Vatican Bank. So we just put you on the alert for it. So just very briefly here, what the CDC was doing, it had a site called QChat Space, and the kids could hide this from their parents. Breitbart News reported this. There were topics like drag culture 101, sex and relationships, having multiple genders, gender affirmation surgeries, queering tarot, self-discovery and astrology. You see there's a lot of occult, satanic stuff, like the tarot cards mixed in there with astrology. QChat's Instagram page features a Trojan horse with the explanation that children may realize they're queer after learning about queerness from friends. And, of course, this idea of hiding it from the parents, that was like that Fairfax school system directive that you talked about. This is the government. They want to raise the children, not the parents. And now move on to your next one, Lou.
Next one is from Gateway Pundit, and it's titled, Target Hit with 90% Loss as Retailer Pushes Trans Gear on Youth. Chest Binders, Packing Underwear. By Warner Todd Houston.
And we're looking here, you see, at our corporation watch.
That's
we're looking
right
at these big stores. Go ahead, Lou.
And originally from the Western Journal. Woke giant Target suffered a major decline in profits for its fiscal second quarter. The company's profits fell nearly 90% after it was forced to cut prices due to massive overstock, KSAT-TV reported. Target reported $183 million in second quarter net income, after earning $1.82 billion over the same period last year. This comes after the retailer's first quarter profits plummeted 52% over last year. Still, revenue did rise in the second quarter, along with both in-store, up 1.3%, and online, up 9%, sales. After the announcement of the plunging profits, Target's shares fell 4% on Wednesday. Target was sent reeling in 2016 when it went all in for the transgender agenda and announced a policy allowing men claiming to be women to use women's dressing rooms and bathrooms. The company defended its left-wing policy even as customers rose up in anger, Breitbart News reported at the time. Even before that, Target retooled its stores to satisfy the LGBT lobby by eliminating gender-specific signage because it wasn't inclusive enough, according to NBC News. This year, with a boycott over its transgender policies only a few years in the past, Target doubled down and began selling clothing designed to help people transition. The Post-Millennial reported in May that Target was selling chest binders and packing underwear, which, quote, gives the appearance of a phallus, unquote. The company also has an extensive line of pride clothing, including for children, to push the LGBT agenda. For his part, director Robbie Starbuck drew a straight line from Target's decision to sell LGBT merchandise to its massive loss of profits. President Joe Biden's spiraling economy has brought about dark days for boardrooms across the nation, certainly. And Target may not necessarily be losing its shirt specifically, because of its unpopular LGBT policies. But those policies have led to boycotts and a lot of negative publicity for the retail giant. As it tries to dig itself out of this fiscal disaster, Target may be in danger of becoming the next corporation to go broke after going woke.
Oh, yes, Lou, and next week we're going to hear about Walmart expanding the abortion coverage for employees, including travel support. But now it's so important that we get to our main focus here, and I'm going to 4A. And this is the situation about the clot shots and what are the clots. Mike Adams, full broadcast on the Alex Jones Show, June 13, 2022, featuring an urgent care doctor, embalmer Richard Hirschman and Dr. Jane Ruby, plus live microscopy of biostructure clots that are killing people. And this was Mike Adams, June 14th. Some people believe these clots are made of non-living tissue or cross-linked proteins, which are getting larger in size just due to chemistry and protein morphology. Others believe these are biostructures made of living cells that are living and growing. My current guess is the former. I think it is more likely that these clots are non-living than living. Now, you see, this was earlier in the game. We're going to take this, the progression of knowledge, listeners, through this. So Mike says, here's the first hour of my hosting of the Alex Jones Show yesterday. So that would have been June 13th, featuring live microscopy analysis of clots with Harrison Smith riding shotgun, and also featuring our mystery doctor guest warning about an explosion of clots in patients at urgent care centers and emergency rooms across America. Second hour of my hosting the Alex Jones Show yesterday, featuring embalmer Richard Hirschman and his vials and bags full of clots harvested from those who, quote, died suddenly, usually after vaccines were given previously. Shocking visuals and stunning testimony. He says up to 70% to 80% of the subjects he is embalming show these bizarre clots, which are killing people. This seems to indicate a massive wave of premature deaths taking place among the vaccinated. And this is Elizabeth Cuppett-Caverly interjecting. Yes, I had my usual obituary watch here in the local Maryland papers. Again, there were several who died unexpectedly or died peacefully at home. Now, back to this recounting of what they found. Third hour of my hosting the Alex Jones Show yesterday, featuring Dr. Jane Ruby, plus more live microscopy examinations of, quote, nanowires and biostructures of the bizarre clots that are killing people, usually after they've been vaccinated. Dr. Ruby provides new analysis as we attempt to explain what these, quote, clots really are, how they are growing in the body. Dr. Ruby says they are self-assembling structures. And Lou, I believe you have the next part to pick up, 4B.
Yes, exclusive, shocking microscopy, photos of blood clots extracted from those who suddenly died, crystalline structures, nanowires, chalky particles, and fibrous structures. This again was by Mike Adams, Sunday, June 12th, 2022. Exclusive. Today we are publishing a series of lab microscopy photos of bizarre clots, which are now being routinely found in adults who, quote, suddenly died, unquote, usually in a number of months following COVID vaccinations. These clots are often referred to as blood clots, but they are nothing at all like normal clots, and they consist of far more than mere blood cells. Unlike normal clots, which are gelatinous, almost jelly-like, these so-called clots contain extremely large, complex, repeating structural elements that are clearly being constructed in the blood of the victims who died from these clots. All of these clots were extracted from patients within a few hours of their deaths. These are not the result of post-mortem blood stasis. These are structures found in blood vessels and arteries. They are not congealed blood. We wish to publicly thank Dr. Jane Ruby for connecting us to the embalmer, Richard Hirschman, who provided these clots. These structures exhibit the following shocking properties. They are tough, fibrous, and resilient, showing material properties similar to small rubber bands. They consist of many strands of small fibrous strands. These fibrous strands show repeating patterns of scale-like engineering, as if the body has been programmed to build another life form inside the blood vessels. There are strange crystalline-like structures found in these clots, exhibiting transparency and resistance to normal gram staining techniques.
Let me interrupt, Lou. This is Elizabeth.
Yes.
You must tell your friends. They're still running these vaccine clinics here in Maryland. We see it. Some people can still be saved. Tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and very soon after this program, probably tomorrow, it will be in our listening archives. You can tell people to find out what is really in these clot shots. So these crystalline circuitry operating systems. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, and I should mention there are some excellent photographs that you can see if you go to the website naturalnews.com and look for Mike's article.
What date again?
And the date again was June the 12th of 2022. And continuing on now, he says below, meaning if you go to that website, you will find one example of a structure that appears to resemble a silicon-like biocircuitry, a microchip-like structure. We don't yet know what it is. One of the photo sets below reveals what appears to be a biocircuitry wire, which clearly shows repeating patterns and nanoscale interface structures that are assembled in a specific geometry for an unknown purpose. And now we're going to summarize some of these. Microscopy photo set number one, strange crystal-like nanostructures. Microscopy photo number two.
Microscopy.
Set number two. Microscopy, yes, yes. Structures, strands, and particles. I can't seem to say that word well. Microscopy, photo number three.
You were great.
Crystal, thank you. Crystal-shaped structures. Photo set number four. A fibrous material is not simply congealed blood cells. And I should add that Mike gives several photos for each of these at various magnifications. So they're well worth looking at.
Go ahead.
And set number five, silicon-like chip structure. Set number six, chalk-like white particles. Number seven, nanowire structures and repeating structural scales. What follows here is a stunning look at what appears to be, at first, a microscale wire. Zooming it, we see a series of repeating structures along the top that appear to be nanoscale wire interface junctions. The entire so-called wire is made of repeating segments, and its outer layer is covered in repeating scale-like patterns that actually resemble reptile skin more than anything human. For the record, we don't know what these structures are. However, it's clear this doesn't belong anywhere in the circulatory system. Finally, this fiber is not simply a human hair. It is firmly attached to the blood clot, and when I tried to remove it, it would not tear away easily. This is not a contamination. What is all this? We don't yet know what all these structures are. We know what they are not, however. They are not simply clotted blood cells. If they were, then at the 1,500 times magnification shown in the last photo above, we would be able to see the individual blood cells. These are not blood cells. They are protein structures. Protein structures circulating in the blood like this, building up over time, are clearly being constructed by the body's cells. The ribosomes in the cells instruct the body what proteins to construct. These ribosomes are hijacked by mRNA gene therapy injections, which overwrite new instructions to the cells, causing them to manufacture something other than human. I believe the structures you are seeing above are the result of mRNA protein synthesis instructions, which have been injected into people under the false umbrella of, quote, vaccine.
And Lou, now, I had a follow-up article that pretty much is a little bit redundant there. It's important that we move to that next big article that you have when Mike analyzed the metals within this, and some of them were superconductive metals. Could you kind of, we might have about maybe 6 minutes. Let's start that article, and if you have to summarize, you'll do it later.
Yes. And this is the ICP-MS analysis results. Reveal that these clots are not made
and
of blood.
And what date?
I don't have the front cover for this one.
It's 5A. Okay, I guess I have a little bit of it.
Okay.
I should say, August 17th, this came out. Natural News releases all of this analysis, but they say in there they did it earlier, but they kept it not going out to the public so that people could react. It was done on June the 23rd, and they were shared privately, these results, with Dr. Jane Ruby and others. All right, now let's get to the results.
Yes. If we look at a table, Mike compares the blood results in an ordinary blood sample to these so-called clots. And these are all in parts per million. I won't keep repeating that. Magnesium, in the blood, it's 35. In the clot, it's 1.7. Quite a difference. Potassium, in the blood, 1893. In the clot, 12. Iron, 462. In the blood, but only 20.6 in the clot. Less than 1/20th as much. Zinc, 7.9 in the blood, only 2.4 in this clot.
And now let's move to some of the things that show the superconductive metals, how high they were. We don't have the life-giving metals that are in the blood, but we have these things like aluminum and some other things, tin. Do you see a chart there that shows that?
Yes.
Okay.
Very clear the way he has this set up.
All right,
up.
Go.
Sodium in ordinary blood is about 1,050 parts per million, but in the clot it's 1,500. So that's 50% higher in the clot than it is in regular blood. Tin, 163 parts per billion in blood, but 942, over 500 times as much in the clot. Aluminum, 1.3 parts per million in blood, but 1.6 parts per million in the clot. And Mike mentions that aluminum is the most common alternative to copper for use in electrical wiring. Sodium is an alkali metal that is highly conductive, and tin is used as the primary component in solder alloys used to manufacture or repair circuit boards.
So your article, if people go back under breaking news at dividedkingdomradio.com, it might have been back in November even when you wrote about the payload, and then I talked to you about the Tin Man. We didn't know how right on we were, did we?
No, we didn't.
No. And no, this is artificial intelligence, the beginnings of it. This is the embryonic thing to try to ruin God's DNA as well as kill many, many people. There are those who are scientific researchers who say that the clot shots will kill 100% of the people who took them eventually. We don't know whether that's true. Go on. Is there a little more there? Anything that's good?
Well, Mike summarizes some of the other important facts. He says this analysis notably does not answer any question of whether these clots are alive or dead, like hair and nails. My own professional opinion is that these clots are not living structures. They appear to be self-assembling dead biostructures from what we can see so far. But that's just an initial assessment and may change with additional observations or findings. Prions, for example, are self-assembling but non-living. So those are a few of the highlights.
So interesting. And next week we will talk about the prion issue, the wrong folding of proteins. This is also an aftermath, and there are some people who are getting Jacob Creutzfeldt-like disease in a short time after the shot. There's so much that you need to know to protect your families. Please help us stay on the air. Send some cash, if you can, or a money order, can be anonymous, to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we do thank those faithful few who are helping us. You are in our hearts and our prayers. Good night. We'll